Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Schon viel über Kryptowährungen gehört, aber noch keinen richtigen Zugang gefunden? Der Einstieg in Kryptowährungen muss nicht kompliziert sein. Mit Xtrackers ETCs kannst du kostengünstig in die Zukunft investieren. Einfach übers klassische Depot. Auf xtrackers.de findest du viel Wissenswertes zu dieser spannenden Anlageklasse. Nimm deine finanzielle Zukunft selbst in die Hand. Schritt für Schritt mit Xtrackers. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Dieser Beitrag ist eine Werbemitteilung der DWS International GmbH, Frankfurt.
It's a question that keeps business leaders up at night. How do you go from thinking about change to actually making it happen?
How do I start? Where do I start? What is the use case? Where is the value?
From the AI revolution.
This is the most amazing time ever. And developments in AI are super, super quickly changing.
To the urgent need for sustainability and resilience.
The physical climate risk predicted in the climate models has arrived.
The way we do business is transforming fast, but we're here to help. I'm Chip Kleinexel, host of Resilient Edge, a new business vitality podcast paid and presented by Deloitte and produced by BBC Storyworks Commercial Productions. It's a guide to implementing and sustaining change at scale. Coming soon, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hello, I'm Luke Jones. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. This time, conversations about dating apps. Millions of us use them when looking for our next relationship, but data on dating apps suggests that they might be losing a bit of popularity. That's the topic of today's conversations. Of course, for some people, they can help you find the right person, even if they do live on a different continent.
I honestly did not take him seriously that he would come and visit me, because if guys from the same country I was living in would not make that much effort into meeting me, why would someone like from 10,000 kilometers away like fly all the way over to see me?
Now, did you see that story the other day about the supermarket romance craze in Spain? This is where people put certain items, it was usually pineapples, in their shopping baskets, and that was a signal to other people that they were looking for love. The OS team loved this story, and it got us thinking about how people find dates in this day and age, which of course led us to start thinking about dating apps. In fact, we were surprised to learn that it was students at Harvard University in the United States back in 1965 who launched the first computer dating service. Since then, it got more sophisticated, with the first online dating sites being launched about 30 years ago. And then we've had smartphones and a whole host of dating apps changing the whole scene about 10 years after that. For our first conversation, we've brought together three people, all in their mid-20s, to compare their experiences on dating apps. They're all living in different parts of the world and they've used dating apps in the past, but each of them now say they feel a bit burned out by them. Maliha is a Canadian living in Bali. Mark is Irish living in the Netherlands. And first, Faith, a Nigerian woman living in the UK. How would they describe their current status?
I am very much single. Like, my single is super single. My life is screaming single. So I have been on Bumble. I've been on Inge. I've been on Luxy. I've been on what's called, there's this other app, Cupid. Yes, I've been on those apps in the last 1 year, but nothing is working. The dating apps are just not what it used to be. So I am so single.
Mark?
Yeah, okay, God. I don't know. Am I that single? I guess I am if I'm here. Yeah, I guess I'm more or less the same. I was in a relationship with somebody that I met on a dating app actually last year up until March of this year. And then, yeah, I've been on Bumble, Hinge, Tinder, and there's another one called Field. I tried that for a while.
Maliha, what about you?
So I recently just got out of a relationship, which is met organically, but I've had really good experiences where, you know, people have literally moved across the world that I've, you know, met through dating apps. But I do agree with Faith. It used to be a lot better. Recently, I feel like it's just a way for people to get quick validation. They get out of a relationship and it's like, okay, let me just fill the void really quickly. And it's really hard to sift through that nonsense. I'm not saying that everyone is like that. You know, we've all been on dating apps. So surely, you know, there's people on there looking for something authentic, but majority, it's yeah, that's what you're facing.
I just feel like the guys on dating app right now, they are not looking for someone to date. They feel like, okay, when they go on the app, they could swipe 10 ladies. They could ask 10 ladies out on dates. They could tell them, I want you to come over to my place. So they don't have to go through the organic way to asking you out, getting to know you. They just tell you straight up, this is what I want in a woman. I have met a guy on a dating app. We're talking for like a week, and this guy literally was supposed to meet up for a date. And on the day of the date, he told me that he wants to come pick me up. I was like, don't worry, because I don't like giving strangers my address. I would come to the location. Then it started raining, and I could hear a girl's voice in the background. And I said, sorry, who is that? He said, oh, my girlfriend, she stays with me. And this is not made up. This is not made up. What, like, you have a girlfriend and you are on a dating app. And I was like, the audacity. And he said, oh, they are just going through separation right now. So they decided to take a break. So he decided to download the dating app, but they are still together somehow.
Oh, my God.
Anyone have anything like that?
No, thankfully not, actually. Yeah, I didn't have anything that extreme.
Well, what's your worst being, though, Mark?
Let me think. There was one, like, at the start of the summer, I met somebody, went on a date together. Was very nice, really hit it off. They invited me back to theirs and were like, I want to sleep with you, but at a nice time, if you want to stay over. I said, sure. The next week, we had arranged another date, and then they randomly texted me at like 11 at night and said, hey, what if I, they lived in a different city, what if I got the train to visit you now and stayed over? And I was like, yeah, sure, fine, let's do it. They came to my house at like 12:30 at night. They stayed for like 36 hours, and then they ghosted me for a weekend and then said they don't want to see me again.
Well, they actually said that. I do not want to see you again.
She was like, yeah, I think we should just leave it there. And I said, okay, well, all the signs were kind of pointing the opposite direction. May I ask why? And she said, yeah, I just, you know, wasn't feeling it. And I'm thinking, you stayed for like from Thursday night to Saturday morning. At what stage were you not feeling it? Like, so yeah, that was probably my weirdest one.
But you know what? I would say that the people on dating apps, they're on there because I find that, you know, they don't have much luck organically meeting people, or there's certain traits that they don't possess to approach people. For example, I'll be at a restaurant and I'll notice someone keep looking at me, and later I'll go home and I'll have a message in my Instagram or on dating apps back then. And they would say, oh, I just saw you there. You know, that would have been the perfect opportunity to come up. So yeah, dating apps not only are a void for those people that don't have these traits, but they're also taking away from the very nature of what it is to be human, which is connection and communication.
I'm always curious if I'm sitting with my female friends and we're having a drink. I'm like, if we both happen to open our dating app and text someone, can I see it from your perspective? Let's just swap phones. Mm. And I always have a look. And I do agree. Some of the messages and profiles that I see from the guys, it's like, it does blow me away. I'm thinking, and what? I also find a lot of men open up with very overly sexual one-liners or something. It's like, there's like this kind of barrier put up that they don't recognize the person they're texting is a real person. And they're saying stuff that they would never say in real life.
Mm. Like, real life, yeah.
It's just straight in, no kissing, basically. It's kind of insane.
Has anyone got rid of them? Is anyone completely off them?
Yeah, I deleted them all.
I am completely off them.
Oh, go on. Why?
I did meet someone off a dating app, and at first glance, he was great. But in retrospect, it was very much love bombing. Took me on a trip, 5-star resort to a different island, flew me out. This was a week into knowing him, and was very much like, yeah, I don't want you to see any other people, this and that. And then I think the first night we had an argument, and his rebuttal immediately was, but I met you off Tinder. And that was, took me aback. I was like, wow, just because I was on these platforms, my reputation is come off skewed.
Well, he sort of thought less of you because that's where you met.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds crazy that he would take you on a trip like so soon into it. Like, it seems very intense very quickly.
Mm-hmm,
that seems to be a trend though nowadays with dating. I think everybody's getting so intense so quickly. And it's almost like with you know, all these apps, like a kind of a pandemic of options. Like you're just swiping and there's so many options and they all just don't mean so much. And then you maybe have a down day, you feel bad, you find someone attractive, you match, you start texting, you maybe have a gap in your schedule, your gap in your life that week, and you just fill that gap as quickly as you can. And then a week later, you're sick of it. Sounds really weird.
And what does all of this do to you? I mean, we always hear about the impact of, you know, what scrolling on your phone through social media does to your mind and your ability to concentrate, so, and how you feel about yourself. But I just
wonder, I said for myself, I am never going to dating apps again. I just deleted like Bumble last 2 weeks and I made a video and that was it for me. So when I deleted it, I felt really done. I felt I don't know how to put it. Like I felt done because basically, how would you feel? You are pretty, you have a good job, you feel like you're emotionally ready to be in a relationship and somewhere is just trying to play with you and it's just lying and lying. So I felt done. I felt like I worked more. And I said, you know what? This is it. I am never coming on dating apps again. So for me, I feel like the guys are on there. They just see like seven fine. They'll talk to like 10 pretty girls. You understand?
Yeah.
So anyone, they feel like, okay, this one wants to come over. Because obviously, I'm telling you, I'm not here to what's called one night stand. I'm looking for someone I could connect with that will lead to something very serious. And immediately you say that, they're like, okay, I don't want this. They're looking for who they want to sleep with immediately.
Yes.
So for me, dating app is never.
And so, Faith, you got rid of the apps. Malia, you said earlier that you'd got rid of them. Do you feel better for it?
Yeah, as soon as I got rid of dating apps, my mental health got exponentially better. And not only did my mental health get exceptionally better, but as soon as I started, like, you know, putting myself out there in person organically more, I was approached a lot more. And I don't know if it was like a different kind of energy. Maybe I was like looking out for my phone more and like had like more openness to like just people in person. But that was like one of the first changes I've noticed.
Yeah. You feel better. Like the next day after the date that was canceled when I deleted the app, I dressed up, I went out, I went to have cocktails and I felt really better. Like, okay, Faith, you need to meet someone organically, not on dating sites. It's not going to work. Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say your confidence generally just gets better, not just in terms of dating and relationships, but you can step into a room and be able to speak to the whole room without, you know, hiding behind a screen or like being timid at all. Like you're forced to be in that position.
Mark, have you deleted?
I have. I did delete them. Didn't feel as like a huge change. I just kind of was just, I realized I was kind of chasing some sort of validation or some sort of ego boost on them. And I kind of been still going on dates and they just felt routine and I'm making myself sound so bad, but
Mark,
I was literally going to the same place. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, follow-up question. Yeah. So where do you find yourself or where do you see yourself approaching your future partner? In what settings?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. God, I'm not sure. I do like to boulder, like rock climb, and there's a lot of people there and I feel like everybody's quite welcoming and friendly there and you strike up a lot of conversations. I did actually meet somebody on a dating app that I had met the week before and we went on a few dates. So if I could cut out the dating app from that procedure, maybe something like that would be nice. If I'm out for drinks with a friend in a bar and like you say, someone's not looking at their phone, they look more approachable, maybe I'll go up and talk to them. I haven't talked to them.
I agree with that 100%. Because I find that if you meet someone in a cafe or in the gym or, you know, certain times of the day that you go to a grocery store, your routine and your values are kind of already overlapping. So it takes a whole component out of that dating issue.
Malia there, along with Mark and Faith on the world of dating with and now without using apps. If you do search online, you'll find plenty of articles asking if we're done with dating apps, but it still remains a multi-billion dollar business. And indeed, people are having success with it, like Duty, an Indian PhD student who contacted the program on WhatsApp. Duty is currently studying in the United States. She met her fiance through a dating app a few years ago, and she feels that she had a good strategy to connect with someone who she thought she'd really get on with.
I met my partner in 2018 November in Delhi. We were both living there then. We met on Tinder and we decided to meet a couple of days after that. And we have been together ever since. A very interesting thing about us meeting was he was one of the very few people who read my extremely long bio. The reason I write a long bio is it kind of works as an initial filtering system for me. if people ask me questions that I have already clearly written in my bio, I kind of do not think of themselves as worth spending my time on. So my boyfriend had read my bio very well, and my political leanings were very clearly mentioned on there. So I didn't want to date people whose values were at the opposite end of spectrum. So he and I met at a tea stall, believe it or not, and we had a very nice discussion on critical theory. We both liked Foucault, and we discussed a bunch of things that we had read, and it was really, really great. We kept meeting almost every day after that, and yeah, we have been together ever since. We moved in about 6 months into our relationship, and we are each other's best friends. And the relationship progression has gotten towards the marriage level for us. We introduced our parents to each other. We decided to get married last year. So yeah, that's about it.
What a result. Many thanks to Duty for sharing her story. I hope she has a nice wedding. I'm Luke Jones, and you're listening to BBC OS Conversations from the BBC World Service.
Schon viel über Kryptowährungen gehört, aber noch keinen richtigen Zugang gefunden? Der Einstieg in Kryptowährungen muss nicht kompliziert sein. Mit Xtrackers ETCs kannst du kostengünstig in die Zukunft investieren. Einfach übers klassische Depot. Auf xtrackers.de findest du viel Wissenswertes zu dieser spannenden Anlageklasse. Nimm deine finanzielle Zukunft selbst in die Hand. Schritt für Schritt mit Xtrackers. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Dieser Beitrag ist eine Werbemitteilung der DWS International GmbH, Frankfurt.
It's a question that keeps business leaders up at night. How do you go from thinking about change to actually making it happen?
How do I start? Where do I start? What is the use case? Where is the value?
From the AI revolution,
this is the most amazing time ever. And developments in AI are super, super quickly changing.
To the urgent need for sustainability and resilience.
The physical climate risk predicted in the climate models has arrived.
The way we do business is transforming fast, but we're here to help. I'm Chip Kleinexel, host of Resilient Edge, a new business vitality podcast paid and presented by Deloitte and produced by BBC Storyworks Commercial Productions. It's a guide to implementing and sustaining change at scale. Coming soon, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Let's hear another success story. Trisha and Victor. They're a couple who almost certainly would never have met if it wasn't for a dating app, because they were living thousands of miles apart. Victor, in London, had been in a long-term relationship and was new to the world of digital dating, but Trisha was all the way in Singapore and had been regularly using a particular app when an interesting new feature popped up.
I was in Singapore. I have never even been to Europe, never even been to London, and I had a free trial of Bumble Premium. So what that allowed me to do was there was like a passport feature, so I could put myself in different cities virtually. So I thought, like, okay, I've never been to London, always wanted to go. I put myself in London and I was swiping and I came across Victor's profile. I remember that he had a really sweet smile. He had a photo of his cat Tuga in him. And he said that he really liked tacos and exploring like new cuisines. I thought that he seemed nice, so I swiped and it was a match. And then from there we started talking.
And hang on, let's turn to Victor's perspective at this point, because you'll have matched with Trisha or you'll have seen her come up on your app. Were you surprised to see that she was nowhere near you?
Yeah, I think it tells you that they're on like a travel mode. But I still decided, since I was just swiping, I just decided, you know what, let's see.
What did you make of her profile when you saw it?
It was really nice. I thought at first she was in one of her pictures, she had like a lanyard, and I thought she was a nurse at first. Like, it looked similar to the sort of NHS sort of lanyard. That piqued my interest. And then the fact that she was actually from Singapore, I'd obviously never really even known anyone from Singapore. So I kind of thought, yeah, let me try and get to know.
But
see
did you
the differences.
Did you not think she was a scam, Victor? I mean, I don't know what the scam would be, but it's not so suspicious. Who's this person who I'm attracted to getting in touch with me from Singapore?
You do obviously have the hesitation. I tend to be, with most stuff online, I tend to be a bit hesitant with doing anything. But I was like, at the moment, it was just us talking to each other. So I was just like, what's the harm that could come of it? Of course, if she then asks for millions of pounds that I don't have, yeah, then that's it.
That's the red flag. Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
Trisha, what was the conversation like?
I think the first thing we talked about was, what are we watching on Netflix? He recommended me, of course, to watch The Crown. What else? And I recommended him to watch Wednesday, which was really popular at that time last year. And I think since we lived in different cities, and I've never been to Europe at all, and Victor has not been to Asia at all. So I think we were telling each other about our daily routine and what makes London special, what makes Singapore special. So I think that was what we both were really interested in each other's lives, because we both really liked traveling.
And you must have thought at some point, Victor, this is all very well, but we're on different continents. What are we going to do about this?
What I've said to people is, like, it did also come at like the perfect time, because at the same time I had holidays from work. My holidays were almost getting to the end, where they then reset the amount of holidays you have. So I had the plan of, since I'd never been out of Europe, I was already kind of going, well, I want to go to a country with like a longer flight, one that I've probably never been to before. And then she came along. So I was like, you know what? Let's just go there. I get to go to a country I've never been to before. And it's the benefit is I'm meeting someone there.
How long into your chatting was this?
Oh, my.
What was it? A month, maybe a month and a half.
A month?
Yeah.
2 months, I think. We started talking in April. We met.
Yeah.
And then he came in June or June, July.
Yeah. Mid-June, I think.
So at this point, you had only text in chat form? I mean, had you telephoned each other or did a video chat?
Yes. We would text each other, we would be on FaceTime, and we would spend like hours on the phone.
So you arrived in Singapore. What did you make of each other when you first met in the flesh?
It was nice, because it was like you're talking to this person so much, so you do know quite a bit about them, but like it's still as if you're meeting a brand new person again. So it was nice. It was just a surprise of finally seeing her in person. It was just just kind of ran over and gave a massive hug for a while. Yeah.
Trisha, what was it like for you, that first meeting?
So when I was speaking to Victor, I honestly did not take in seriously that he would come and visit me, because if guys from the same country I was living in would not even make that much effort into meeting me, why would someone like from 10,000 kilometers away like fly all the way over to see me? Even when he showed me the tickets, I didn't believe him until I saw him like come out of Terminal 2 at the airport, and I saw him. It was honestly very surreal. I had friends, I didn't tell my family yet, but I had friends like kind of like in my ear telling me to be careful, because like what you said to Victor earlier, people were worried that I was meeting a scammer and they asked me to like look at his passport to see if it matched his name and whatever.
Did you do that?
I didn't check like to see if he was a scammer, but Victor was always very genuine and forthcoming. I never had any doubts at all.
Can I ask a delicate question?
Yes.
How did the physical side of the relationship work? So obviously you've been chatting for a long while, thousands of miles apart, but then when you meet someone in the flesh, I don't know, it's different, isn't it?
I think for myself, because when we met for the first time, we had chatted so much over like video call and over text, we knew a bit about each other, and in that way, we were sort of comfortable with each other. It's not like I was meeting a total stranger. So when I met him, I was still, I think Victor will attest to this, I was still a bit awkward, but I was definitely, I found Victor physically attractive. And I think that the fact that I knew a bit about him and I knew that he had that genuine interest in getting to know me made me comfortable enough to be vulnerable with him, I think. And when we met for the first time, it was nice to know that we were on like the same page, I think.
The fact that we had spoken to each other still for pretty much like 2 months, we kind of felt like we knew each other a lot already. Yeah, it was just the physical side missing. But then once we did meet up, it was awkward at first, because it is still like you're kind of meeting a new person. But then pretty much within that first day, that awkwardness was kind of gone. We were getting comfortable with each other and enjoying just the time we were having together.
How has it progressed since then? Assume it went well, that first trip. How has it worked between the two of you? I mean, are you still living between Singapore and London?
No, actually, it progressed really well. obviously after leaving, it was it's upsetting because you're leaving this person and you're back to just speaking on the phone. But then, what was that? That was around end of June I left. And then her birthday in September, I, as a birthday present, bought her tickets to come to London to finally experience London as well.
So how are you now? Are you still living apart? Are you living together?
No. Luckily, we live together now. I proposed to her in September. And then we got married in Singapore.
In April of this year.
Yeah.
How long was it between first swipe and walking down the aisle?
A year. Exactly a year. Yeah.
Well done. What advice would you have for any of the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are having a really awful time of it on dating apps and are thinking, oh, is this worth it?
Mine would be, let's say if they are far away, don't put that one off. Don't just instantly swipe left on that person just because they are far away, because that could be the person you spend the rest of your life with.
Trisha?
Yeah. I think have a little bit of faith, because I think over time, the idea of finding love can be pretty jaded and you don't believe in it. But I think to have that little faith that serendipity can transform your life, basically, I think.
There we go. Another happy ending and another wedding. Trisha and her now husband, Victor, congratulations to them. And thank you to everyone who shared their stories with us on this programme. I'm Luke Jones, and you've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
Schon viel über Kryptowährungen gehört, aber noch keinen richtigen Zugang gefunden? Der Einstieg in Kryptowährungen muss nicht kompliziert sein. Mit Xtrackers ETCs kannst du kostengünstig in die Zukunft investieren. Einfach übers klassische Depot. Auf xtrackers.de findest du viel Wissenswertes zu dieser spannenden Anlageklasse. Nimm deine finanzielle Zukunft selbst in die Hand. Schritt für Schritt mit Xtrackers. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Dieser Beitrag ist eine Werbemitteilung der DWS International GmbH, Frankfurt.
It's a question that keeps business leaders up at night. How do you go from thinking about change to actually making it happen?
How do I start? Where do I start? What is the use case? Where's the value? From the AI revolution.
This is the most amazing time ever. And developments in AI are super, super quickly changing.
To the urgent need for sustainability and resilience.
The physical climate risk predicted in the climate models has arrived.
The way we do business is transforming fast, but we're here to help.
I'm Chip Kleinexel, host of Resilient Edge, a new business vitality podcast paid and presented by Deloitte and produced by BBC Storyworks Commercial Productions. It's a guide to implementing and sustaining change at scale. Coming soon, everywhere you listen to podcasts.